many ways kind of who you are, which many people think that's wrong already, time. But that's kind of the reality in our society, is that, you know, your occupation and the work you do is sort of defines you. That hasn't always been the case. I mean, you know, it's something that within the last, you know, 100 years or so has become sort of the norm, especially since World War II. You know, everyone now works and has you know, a job that's really important. But it hasn't always been the case. There was a time when you know, work was viewed as less central to who people are. So,
Mr. Ford, I think I'm just going to have to end it there, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Ford, I really appreciate your time, and thank you very much for joining us. Martin Ford is the author of the new book, Rise of the Robots. And Mr. Ford, again, thank you very much for the time, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And you are tuned to KBOO Portland. That was Don Merrill interviewing Martin Ford. He's the author of Rise of the Robots. It is 10 a.m. You are tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Air Cascadia is off. We will hear Flashpoints and in its entirety. And then at 11, we will hear about how water has shaped our past and how new water challenges are shaping the future on an episode of The Scholar Circle with host Maria Armudian. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a KBOO member and you want to become one, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
Hello, KBOO members. You are invited to attend KBOO's Mission and Vision Retreat on May the 30th from noon to 4 p.m. This retreat is an opportunity for members to support the development of a mission and vision statement for KBOO and to share your valuable knowledge about your community radio station. If you would like to attend the retreat on May the 30th, get in touch with Monica Beamer and RSVP by sending her an email at monica@kboo.org or calling 503-231-8032, extension 201. More details about the agenda for the retreat will be sent to you when you RSVP. We hope to see you on May the 30th, and thank you for being an active member of KBOO.
Today on Flashpoints, we'll have a special report on the botched oil spill cleanup at Santa Barbara. Also, fighting nukes on California's coast. The big lie continues about who is responsible for the airline shootdown over the Ukraine. And more on General Petraeus' slap on the wrist for releasing top-secret government documents to his ex-girlfriend. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Federal authorities Wednesday issued a cleanup order to the company whose underground pipeline spilled thousands of gallons of crude oil into the Pacific last week, marring several miles of Santa Barbara coastline. We're joined now by somebody who's been, working on the front lines to help clean it up, giving us an idea about what the situation is on the ground. Her name is Becca Clausen, and she's an organizer with Food and Water Watch. Becca, welcome to Flashpoints.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Dennis.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Why don't you begin with an update? You've been on the beach. What can you tell us about the initial spill and how it's been dealt with to date?
Well, it's very disturbing how little response there was immediately. I can say that when I was first at the site the very first day, about 3 hours after the spill happened, there was a thick blanket of oil covering at least 4 miles of beach by about 8 yards of thick oil, and no one was on the scene to clean it up except for a handful of volunteers, and they were actually being blocked from going down to the beach. A lot of people wanted help but were denied access. Then the tide came up that night and swept all that oil back into the ocean. So it's very disturbing that we missed our prime opportunity to get most of that oil out of there.
Who denied you access and why?
what I've heard is that there was a little bit of confusion over who was lead agency, because usually spills happen either onshore or offshore, but because this one originated onshore and then spread into the ocean, the EPA and the Coast Guard were a bit, there was like a bit of confusion over who was lead agency. So all I know is that reporters on the site watched overnight as the tide came up and swept all that oil back out into the ocean.
Wow. Now, exactly what has been affected? How long along the shoreline? Tell us more about the details.
So it's about 12, at least 12 miles now of coastline that's been affected. Animals are showing up as far down as Carpinteria, which is 20 miles away, with oil on them. A couple of dead seals were spotted last night. People down in Redondo apparently are seeing some oil on their beach, and there's some tests being done to see if it's the same source. And I can just tell you that over the weekend I saw some really disturbing events where hired cleanup crew, being paid $10 an hour but not given masks, were on the Bacara Beach Resort stretch of beach, and 2 feet away, they were wearing hazmat suits and everything, but 2 feet away there were children playing on the beach. So It's just very alarming that we've got workers wearing hazmat suits but not fully protected, and then also residents and children playing on what apparently is a hazardous beach. I mean, there are safety warnings, but people were not being evacuated.
Well, that's really troubling. I mean, first you're saying that there was a problem in terms of who would be in charge, what the lead agency would be. Now it seems like there's a slipshod cleanup operation that is both jeopardizing those doing the cleanup at $10 an hour and kids playing nearby. This seems to be a fumbled and troubling operation that might make the situation worse.
I am troubled. Having grown up in this county, loving these beaches more than any place on the planet, it's horrifying to me to see that the cleanup operation has not been going smoothly at all. The health of our residents is being risked. So the volunteers are finally being trained. They were trained for the first time on Sunday, and they've trained a relatively small group of people, but the volunteers are being funneled to a beach that's pretty clean looking. I mean, this really feels like there's a lot of PR interest at play. That's just my opinion. But and also, word from the volunteers is that there are armed officers on the beach with them, claiming to be there for the volunteers' protection. It's just very curious. I would love for someone to do some digging into this situation.
All right, you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking with Pekka Klassen about this horrific spill that is now marring the coast and destroying the coastline and killing wildlife in the Santa Barbara area. There seems to be a bundled cleanup. Well, federal authorities yesterday ordered the company, I guess the company is called Plains All American Pipeline, to clean up. I guess the order came from the EPA and the U.S. Coast Guard. What do we know about this company or how they're going to go about cleaning up?
You know, I personally don't know too much about the company, aside from the fact that they have a pretty poor record. A lot of the local residents here are more concerned with the industry at large and the fact that this county has already seen numerous offenses by the oil industry. This is, three of the rigs that feed into this pipeline are actually Exxon rigs, which hasn't been talked about very much. There have been cases of fracking off our shores. That currently there are two lawsuits against the federal government involving because of these incidents of illegal fracking.
Fracking in this very area?
Yeah, in the channel, Santa Barbara Channel. So, you know, the bigger picture here is that we have an industry that has become a rogue player, and our current regulations aren't protecting us. The nature of the oil they're going after these days is heavier, thicker. It requires dilutants in order to allow it to flow through pipelines, which makes the oil more corrosive. So the pipes are more likely to corrode, and we are likely to see more breaks like this in the future. And that's what most of the people I talk to are concerned about, is the big picture, the nature of the oil industry right now, and the fact that we need to transition rapidly, as quickly as we can, calling on Governor Brown to put an emergency moratorium on all drilling, especially drilling involving injection, because after the Kern County injection well fiasco, where oil companies are dumping wastewater into federally protected aquifers, you know, we're just seeing numerous incidents where the oil industry is proving to be incapable of protecting the public. So we're calling on our elected officials to do that for us. We need Governor Brown to put an emergency moratorium on onshore and offshore fracking and extreme drilling processes.
Paint us a picture of what's happening on the beach now. Are people, volunteers now, working on the cleanup along with those folks who were partially dressed in hazmat near the children? What does the cleanup look like just this moment?
You know, there are volunteers out there. A friend of mine just reported back there were about 30 people on the beach today. I know hundreds more are eager to get out there. And my understanding is that they're having a hard time being connected with or being allowed onto the beaches that are most heavily impacted.
And who's stopping them?
The Joint Command and the coordinated volunteer effort is just regulating, you know, who's allowed on the beach and who isn't.
What kinds, you mentioned that some seals or sea lions were impacted. What kinds of sea life and shore life will be impacted by this spill, already impacted by this spill?
The entire food chain will be affected by this spill.
Talk about that, please.
Well, if you think of chemicals being diluted and mixed and churned into our local sea, everything from plankton up to whales will be affected by these chemicals, if not immediately impacted by the oil killing them. They will have long-term effects from these carcinogenic and mutagenic chemicals. You know, the concern that, you know, hopefully we'll know soon that this oil doesn't contain fracking chemicals. I mean, that's my hope, because I'm horrified to think that my ocean would have been contaminated with fracking chemicals, which are even more dangerous. But even without the fracking chemicals, there are numerous compounds in this oil that are very worrisome. Benzene, toluene, things that our bodies have zero tolerance for.
And in terms of the oil that's in the water, do we know if it's the new crude, the heavier crude? Do we know where exactly it came from?
You know, I think they're trying to do an exact trace on it. I heard that they're calling it San Ardo crude. That would mean it's from a oil field that involves unconventional techniques like cyclic steam injection. Some people are calling that steam fracking because it involves heating up and injecting of extremely hot water, and they heat the entire strata up to about 500 degrees to make the tar more less viscous and allow it to flow more easily up into the wells. So, and these kinds of, by heating these oil tar reservoirs, you denature the compounds even further, making them even more of a health risk. I would be happy to do a follow-up show and let you know as we learn more about the exact nature of the oil, but I know people are studying to compare, like, the oil that's showing up down in Carpinteria and all as far down as Redondo as well, to see if it matches the type of oil that we saw spill here.
Well, we will be checking back with you on that. I do want to ask you, if it was a complete and thorough cleanup, say the way you would like to see, what would you like to see happen? What should they be doing? What should they have been doing? And what should they do right now, tomorrow, to really try and make a difference?
I wish that we had been prepared with a FEMA-type response from day one. As I mentioned, our best opportunity to clean it up would have been immediately before the high tide came up and swept it back out to the ocean.
That's such an unbelievable tragedy.
Yeah, it is. And as far as what we can do right now, I think training as many volunteers as possible, allowing access to the most impacted beaches would be key, and to stop worrying about PR or whatever the main concern is for the issue going forward, and really just allow the community, who's so eager to get involved, allow the community to get involved in a safe way.
Do you believe the EPA has really failed the people? It seems like they've been involved in serial failures when it comes to these kinds of spills. How would you rate their involvement, their attempt to clean up?
You know, I have a hard time pointing fingers at the EPA. I think the focus needs to remain on the fact that the industry is becoming more and more dangerous, and that our current infrastructures are not able to handle the type of oil that we are bringing out of the ground right now due to the fact that we have to mix them with dilutants and corrosive chemicals. Yes, the EPA probably could have done a better job. I understand that they're spread pretty thin. I don't know if funding is exactly where it should be. This is all personal opinion. But, you know, I want to keep the focus on the big picture here, and that's that our county, our state has seen enough environmental devastation from the oil industry, and we have the technologies and the infrastructure that we need to transition to renewable energies right now, today. And I am hoping that we'll be seeing a commitment to redouble efforts both at the local and state level to leave dirty fossil fuels in the ground and sign on for a renewable energy future.
All right, Becca Claussen works as an organizer with Food and Water Watch, keeping an eye on this terrible spill that happened off the coast and from the coast of Santa Barbara. We're going to watch it very closely. We're going to come back again, Becca, and find out exactly what that oil is and what's going on.
Thank you so much.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Coming up next, Harvey Wasserman continues with the battle to end nuclear power on the California coast. Listen to this.
Hi, this is Harvey Wasserman. I work with the anti-nuclear movement, arrested at Diablo Canyon in 1984 and still trying to shut those two godforsaken reactors. I'm in the Bay Area.